Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, man? How you doing, bang?
Hey, man, look. These are the days that we gotta pod.
Of course.
It is important to pod. It is all the reason to pod.
Absolutely.
Because something that we've been talking about for a couple of episodes.
Yeah, indeed.
It's come down, it's happened.
Yeah.
Diddy.
Puffy
has Sean, the people versus Sean Combs.
Love Combs
is almost over. And today he was convicted on two charges.
Okay,
only two.
Okay,
only two, Mike. He was convicted of prostitution transporting convictions. That's what he was transporting for prostitution. That's what he was charged. Those are the two charges he was found guilty of. Federal prosecutors say that he faces at least 51 to 63 months in jail. So that's 4 years and 3 months to 5 years and 3 months. I would like to say here on my podcast, I've been saying that those are the two charges he's getting found guilty of. When things started to shake out, things looked a little scary, not going front. But now that we're damn near done with this trial, he didn't get found guilty of the RICO. He didn't get found guilty of the sex trafficking charges against Cassie or Jane Doe. Just the transporting for prostitution. Thoughts,
which is seems kind of crazy too, that you could get time for transporting a hooker that you pay. Y'all have consensual sex, but I guess the laws are the laws, I guess, you know what I'm saying? So, but thoughts,
prostitution is still illegal, Mike.
Prostitution is definitely illegal. Prostitution is illegal. That's another conversation for another pod. But thoughts, initial thoughts, shocked and not. I've mixed feelings about it. I'm kind of shocked, but I'm also not kind of shocked because I've been following this from the beginning, and it's just like when you hear these charges brought up against people, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, it's a Fed case, not a state case, anything like that. So when you hear feds and then you hear the prosecution rate, like how the hit rate on prosecution, and you know, and it's very high for the feds, and you know, so you see these charges get brought up against somebody, and you thinking immediately off the back, like, yeah, he's not walking from this. Like, you know, they've got what they need. They're gonna present everything they need to present to bring him down, because you would think that, hey, with all of this and everything that they've done, that, you know, it wouldn't be no slip up. So it wouldn't be no issues. Like, this should be, you know what I'm saying, easy in, easy out for prosecuting him on everything that they want to prosecute him on. So in that sense, if for him to beat the RICO, to beat the racketeering charges, you know, it's a shocker. But I'm also not shocked because I followed, and definitely for Jane Doe, the Jane Doe one, I start there. I think her testimony was kind of weak. It really, I didn't see anything in her testimony where like it'd be even remotely close to for Diddy to be charged with like racketeering her. If you know, I think it was pretty clear as day that she was a willing participant. Now the Cassie racketeering charge is a little more tricky. I think, and it was a little more. You know, that's that testimony from Cassie was we heard a lot of things, a lot of graphic details, a lot of disturbing details, and then, you know, a lot of things were presented as evidence, including the hotel video. So when you see all of that and then you hear certain things in the testimony about, like, you know, like the things with Cassie's mom, and, you know, extortion and all of that shit like that. And, you know, those, that one kind of felt like it was more like, all right, that racketeering could possibly stick. But at the end of the day, the judge, not the judge, the jurors saw it in a sense where that Cassie Ventura and Jane were willing participants in freak-offs and, you know, just any other ventures with Diddy, you know what I'm saying, outside of freak-offs. They were willing participants and, you know what I'm saying, they willingly, you know, still stayed in relationships and contact with Diddy amongst all of this. So that's where, you know, obviously we see that, hey, this is where he found out gets yet. So, you know, shocker, but not shocked. That's how I kind of like see it. But once again, I just want to say, like, again, this was like one of the, I've never really followed a case this big before my, you know, so that was, it was cool to like learn new things and about like these kind of cases and see how they're presented and how they're, you know, ran and everything like that. But I mean, I just want to say still at the end of the day, my heart goes out to all the victims, you know what I'm saying? Cassie and Jane Doe, like, you know what I'm saying? Those at the end of the day, as I see it, you know what I'm saying? Diddy is a piece of work. You know, he's a piece of work. And, you know, I don't think any woman should be treated in any such way as, you know, Diddy treated these women. You know,
that's the dad.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. As a husband and a father, you know what I'm saying. And I have plenty of beautiful women in my family. I would never want to see any woman that I love, you know what I'm saying, dearly to my heart, be treated in that way that, you know, that we know, that we now know that Sean did to these women. So in that sense, my heart goes out to them, you know what I'm saying? And I hope, you know, they find peace along the way after this. And like, as far as any other women out there that are victims to these kind of acts, you know, my heart goes out to them as well. But the jury has spoken, and here we are. Yeah. Puff. You know, beat the Rico, but, you know, still has to learn his fate on the two other counts that he was found guilty on. And like you said, Bang, you like, it's looking like at the end of the day, when this is all said and done, when the judge hands down his sentencing, it seems that he's gonna do some time and he's still gonna stay behind bars. So how long? We'll see. How long he been there? We will see. What are your thoughts on this whole trial, man?
It went the way that I thought originally. Mm-hmm. Let me first say this, right? This is nothing to do with Cassie. I don't have an opinion on her or anything like that. This is me simply talking about the case. I believe he was overcharged.
I believe that as well.
Like,
I believe that too.
To charge that man with a RICO for this, you would have to show, like, Sean Combs' enterprise is built off of the back, literally, of Cassie and Jane Doe. And I honestly think that that was going to be hard to prove. Now you hear some salacious details and stuff and you start to get a little, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Things looking a little spooky. But I always had it in the back of my mind, like, yo, this gonna be hard to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to prove. After that, let's go to the sex trafficking. I think that people have learned a lot about sex trafficking or potential of sex trafficking. I think people have learned a lot when it comes to that. I would stay clear from flying people out for the foreseeable future. I don't think flying people out are the move, or is the move right now, because it can lead to some stuff that I don't think you really want it to lead to.
Yeah.
The prostitution part was easy to choose or easy to pick.
It was easy to convict.
Yeah, it was the prostitution charge was very easy to convict. It's like he paid for the guys to come to have sex with Cassie. By law, that is prostitution. I know there's going to be some people who be like, yo, people do that all the time. Yeah. Prostitution, people do that all the time.
Uh-huh.
It's just that for us, unless we go out on the corner, unless we go over there on Cicero by the Vidoc and get caught, that's the only time we gonna get caught. When you bring a shorty to your house and you pay the freight,
yeah,
probably not gonna get charged because she's probably not gonna tell or it's not gonna be in a position.
Uh-huh.
If you go to one of those bathhouses and pay massage shorty a fee to rub one out, you know what I'm saying? That's prostitution. And they do studies. Go ask Robert Kraft. You know what I'm saying? Go ask Robert Kraft. That was
so when you get happy endings in massage parlors, that's prostitution.
If Shorty be like, do you want a happy ending? Yeah. Yes. $40 happy ending.
That's crazy.
Paying $40 at Arnie's is prostitution.
Is that like in every state or like?
Except for Las Vegas, I believe.
Interesting.
But yeah, if you go to the little massage parlor, Michelle, you go to one of the massage parlors in Merrose Park, and Shorty say $40, happy ending. You give her the $40, that's prostitution.
Interesting.
No matter how we think about it, prosty. That's it. So, me. What else you expect, Mike? I'm sorry. That was the easiest. I felt like they were trying to. Here's what I feel. You were to say, bang, how do you feel about this whole thing? Like you asked. I think that Cassie opened up Pandora's box when she filed that $30 million lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
I think Puff aided in that by not paying the $5 or the $30. And that led to a rabbit hole that you have to investigate.
Yep.
And when you start to investigate, you start to look at things and go to this man's house and you see all these dildos and you see all of these bottles of baby oil. And then you hear Cassie say some of the things that she do, you're supposed to investigate it.
Yeah.
I just don't think that it was a RICO that was needed for this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think sex trafficking was needed for this. This was a domestic case to me.
Domestic violence and prostitution.
Yeah, if you could have upcharged the hell out of the, you could have found some other stuff to add on to the domestic violence that's around that, but it wasn't going to be no RICO or no sex trafficking. And that's why I think a lot of people, and I'm not a lawyer, let me just say, y'all know I ain't no lawyer, but this is my opinion because I'm not only basing this on like the Diddy thing, I'm basing this on a lot of cases, high profile cases we see
that go this way.
There's a lot of people that overcharge these celebrities and it feels like sometimes they're doing it for the look.
Yeah. So
if you just charge, or even when you look at some like the George Zimmerman thing and some of these other things, like they try to charge folks with first degree premeditated murder. Then they want to try to go up in there and say, hey, he was leaving out with the express thought of killing somebody tonight.
Yeah.
And then it's easy for the defense to be like, no, he wasn't. And you could have charged him with something else so he would have went to jail. But you charged him with first degree murder because the look from the press to the people to say, we're trying to lock this person up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think people in this situation go free. You're overcharging people for the look. You're overcharging people for the press. You're overcharging people to impress voters. and then you end up losing. And then you can come out and say, we tried. We're going to file an appeal. We're going to do all of these things. If they would have charged Diddy with what they should have charged him with, Diddy wouldn't be getting out no time soon. He would have a little bit extra. But in this case, with the prostitution charge, being found guilty, 20 years up to, he's a first-time offender. They already said, and I was looking at this, the prosecution said that he faces at least 51 to 63 months. That's 4 years and 3 months to 5 years and 3 months. He's already done about a year, so it might be time served tacked on to that. So instead of being 5-4-3 and 5-3, it's probably going to be 3-3 and 4-3. He stays up in there. He gets out because of good behavior or something else. Diddy not going to spend nothing but a vacation in jail. And he's not going to be with Gen Pop, so he's going to be up in there resting. They would have done this differently. Diddy would probably be in jail a lot longer than what he may be in there for. Simple as that. Now, to the other piece. Let this be a lesson to hip-hop. Let this be a lesson to music anyway. Like, let this be a lesson. Like, we got to do things differently, y'all.
Yo, let this be a lesson. Stop being freaky. Stop being freaky.
No, wait.
I get. Go ahead. Stop being freaky, y'all. Stop being freaky.
No, I think you're just saying the wrong thing.
Stop.
There's nothing wrong with being freaky. Ain't nothing wrong with being freaky, Mike.
Apparently it is, because all freaky niggas...
When you're doing too much. No.
When you freaky, you getting sued.
The difference is...
You get sued.
Mike, the difference is it's freaky.
You get charged with crimes.
Because folks doing too much. That's the problem. It's nothing wrong with having kinks. It's nothing wrong with having none of those things. The issue becomes when you allow your money to invade your freakiness.
Yeah.
There are people, look, Mike, there's a lot of cucks out there. Cause Diddy's a cuck. Let's throw that out there. He's a cuck. That's what you want to do? Do it. That's your thing? Do it. Just don't be involving your assistants and all of these other people to set up rooms and having lairs with baby oil and dildos and filming and all of those things. There are a lot of people in the world with kinks. We just don't want to find it out.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to be in the group chat.
I was about to say, we do not want to know what's going on in y'all bedrooms and y'all freaky lives.
That's the one thing that I learned. I don't want to be involved in the group chat. I don't care to know what you got going on in your bedroom. And I felt like I found out more about Puff and what he likes to do than the dastardly things he probably did. It was more... Now, the Kid Cudi thing, hey, might have happened, might have not happened, all of that. But the other thing that I learned from this is, and this is no disrespect to anybody that's went through any sexual assaults or stuff, but man, the one thing that I learned about this, and I think I said this on Summer Sessions, and I'll say it here, it's two things actually. One, the things that people will go through to maintain their lifestyle. Because Jane Doe was like, yo, he's still paying my rent. Some of this stuff I was doing, when you read her stuff, it feels like a lot of what she was doing was to maintain her lifestyle. And when Cassie came out, she was like, I'm coming out too. But for Jane Doe, and I think Jane Doe fucked this up for everybody. Let me say that. Jane Doe messed this up for everybody. Puff probably be in jail right now if Jane Doe never comes onto the stand and basically says, that I needed to maintain my lifestyle. I got mad when he was messing with the other girl and wasn't doing none of this stuff. But for me, he was like, yo, let's freak off, because you opened up Pandora's box and you was down to do it. And it seems like, according to the jurors, not only you was down to do it, you was profiting off of it.
She had a better she had a better shot of taking the original Cassie route and suing him. she could have gone that route and sued, and she possibly could have got a payout like Cassie did. But yeah, like I said originally, her testimony was very, Cassie? Very weak. And it, her testimony kind of, it felt like I questioned the prosecution for even bringing her up there on the stand. Like, y'all wasn't aware of these answers that she was going to give when she hit the stand. Like, it clearly,
right,
telling everybody that he's still paying my rent is crazy.
Okay, give me a freezer. And make sure you throw that away. Don't just be leaving it around, man. Like, Jane Doe made me feel like she needed to maintain her lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie, whether she was pregnant on the stand, it felt like, damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely, Cassie shit to me was like, damn, that's fucked up.
Reading the Cassie testimony, I read every single word from the testimonies every day she was on that stand. And it was, a lot of that stuff was heartbreaking to read. It was like, heartbreaking to read. And my heart went out to her.
Yeah, but Jane, like you said, came out.
Yeah.
It was like, shit, he's still paying my rent. Oh, well, why are we here?
It was like, really, it kind of felt like she was up there for the defense and not the prosecution.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like she was trying to put this man away or anything like that. Like, it didn't feel like, that's why I was confused half of her testimony. I'm like, you telling us all of this stuff? Like, this is pretty clear that you in this for the bread. You know what I'm saying? You like, it don't feel authentic at all.
And they didn't call up any of the higher ranking people at Bad Boy or Combs Enterprises.
Yeah.
They didn't, like, Harv Pierre didn't get to, they didn't call Harv Pierre to the stand.
Yeah.
They didn't call up the kids.
We didn't get D-Rock. D-Rock's name got brought up plenty of times in this case. And he didn't get brought up for questioning or anything like that. So if you really, when you really look at this, you question.
Well, on that side, because I think that they were nervous. I think the defense was nervous, but why would you have to bring up D-Rock? Like, I'm talking, like, the prosecution, to me, failed miserably in the RICO thing.
Yeah.
You didn't prove that, you proved that Sean Combs was a freak, man. You didn't prove that Sean Combs Enterprise was freak people, or a business committed to keeping the freak out there. I don't think that's the case. Now, two things could be right at the same time. While they didn't prove that, the court of public opinion is going to always look at Sean Diddy Combs as a freak man. He's not going to lose that no matter what happens. His family could come out, high five, yeah! But the court of public opinion, the majority of them is going to be like, you a pariah. So this, while Diddy might not be in jail for the rest of his life, he's going to be in a bubble. He's going to be in a cell in arrest for the rest of his life. Not a jail cell, but the fact that while he got off, all of this information got out, he's going to be looked at as, right, yeah. He's going to be looked at as a pariah.
Yeah.
And for people like Puff, I think that's just as haunting as going to jail, because you're not going to be able to do the things that you want to do. You're not going to be able to do the things. And yeah, let me just say this. Let me rewind this. I know people are going to say, they're going to listen to this podcast. They're going to listen to this part of it. And they're going to say, what about Donald Trump? Different rules for different people.
Mm-hmm.
Different rules for different people. Because some of those same people not only prop up Donald Trump, they prop up Elvis. They prop up Jerry Lee Lewis. They prop up Roland Polanski, and they prop up a number, Woody Allen. They prop up a number of people of that ilk that have done some freaky shit, some nasty shit, and they still celebrate them. While people like R. Kelly, people like Diddy become pariahs.
Bill Cosby,
they consider pariahs. So we know this already. But I am not down to police those people. I'm not even down to police Diddy them. I'm just saying that those people get the protection. Diddy ain't gonna get that. And the fact that he was found guilty of the prostitution but nothing else, but he's been seen on camera beating the shit out of Cassie, I would be shocked if a black female celebrity stand by him. For example, we talked about this on this show. Mary J. Blige, when she was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, didn't even mention Diddy in her speech.
Yeah, we talked about that on the pod too.
Yeah, and he's very influential in her career.
But I mean, that's not shocking. And you know
this is not meant to be shocked. What I'm saying is simply, I would be shocked to see anybody that means anything in this industry stand by Sean Combs. He gonna have to put money in secretly to get shit done. I will be shocked if Diddy is out in front of something and people be like, yo, I'm rocking with him. Yeah. He got found not guilty. What you need to do?
Yeah, just to piggyback off that, like, you're not gonna, it's very clear to see, like, obviously he's been found not guilty on certain charges and everything like that, and he'll eventually come home. But I mean, I think that part of the entertainment business, that part of his life is over. You know, the image has been tainted, you know, and obviously I think anybody that's standing behind Diddy, or, you know, they're still showing support for Diddy, it will be done behind closed doors. You won't see much, except his family, of course. Obviously, and I want to say too, like, you know what I'm saying, shout out to his kids. Like, I'm happy for his children. Like, I'm really happy for his children. Like, because, you know, they were there for the most part. You know, they stood behind him as a family should do and as kids should do and everything like that. So it was nice to see those smiles on their faces when they left that courtroom. And, you know, after the verdicts were read, because they knew that eventually, whether or not it was going to be today or to be in the next 12 months or less or whenever, that their dad is going to come home, you know, to them. And that was good to see. And that was cool, and that was good to see. But as far as, like, life after prison and everything like that, I don't see anything. What happened, Bang? What's up, Scott? Yeah.
Scott, they ain't respond to my text, nigga. I was like,
Scott on the internet. Scott on some fuck Diddy shit. He don't care. He's like, fuck that man. Let him ride.
Need to be in jail, dog. That nigga needs to be in
The jury thought otherwise. The jury thought otherwise.
Well, not really, because he's going to jail.
But do you think he needs to be in jail for the rest of his life, Scott?
Yes, I do. Have you seen the stuff that this thing? Some niggas got to go. He's one of them. And whoever in the chat said Kanye need to go with him too. Yes, all them lock all them niggas up. Bane was right. Scott, I came over here to say Bane was right.
Scott on Summer Sessions. If you listen to Summer Sessions, boy, Scott yelled me up and down, fam. I was like,
man. The feds were very overzealous with this, and they just, you know, they bit off a little more than they could chew.
This is what I told Scott is the same thing that I said earlier. It's going to be very hard to prove out that Combs Enterprises was the mafia, even though he was out there acting like it. If they would have stuck it with domestic violence and added some related type shit to it, Puff would be up in there for 10, 15 years. Well, it's Fed time, so he had to do 80% of that. But the fact that Jane Doe came on the stand, I think Jane Doe ruined everything. If you stick it to Cassie, Capricorn Clark, couple other people, Diddy for the rest of it. Soon as you bring Jane Doe up in that bitch, Jane Doe say he's still paying my bills. Then, why are we talking to you?
I never understood why she was on the stand telling people that Diddy was still paying her rent.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff that didn't make sense.
That was like the most atrocious testimony, but part of her testimony ever.
Once it started, I wasn't shocked that they didn't get him on the RICO. I was shocked they didn't get him for the sex trafficking. That's what stunned me, because it looked like they had overwhelming evidence on that.
I said the same thing, Scott. I said that's why I said I was a little shocked that I wasn't shocked. But the reason why I wasn't shocked, it was like it felt like with Cassie's testimony, it feels like the pieces were getting put together as far as trafficking is concerned. Like it felt like it was there, you know. So, but I think they had to just base it off like the communication that they had with each other, even after everything was over. You know what I'm saying? Like with their relationship and them doing freak offs, the communication that they continue to have, you know, just showed that, like, hey, at the end of the day, Puff did all of this to her, raped her, and she still had consensual sex with him after being raped.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If you keep it to that shit, Puff ain't getting out of jail. That's my look. I'm going to say this again. I'm going to say this for Scott because I don't know how much Scott was listening or looking. I am tired, and I'll say it specifically. I am so tired of these prosecutors overcharging people for the look. Charging with what they need to charge them for. You charging people so you can tell the voting community that I am trying to do this. Keep me in there, you lose. I tried, but that's what I'm tired of. Charge people for what they need to be charged with. Don't try to overcharge to impress me. You ain't got a lot of kick it. You know what I care for? Your conviction rate. That's what I want. I want to see your conviction rate for these joints to be at least 95%. Don't sit up and say, oh, we got Diddy. Oh, man, let's charge him with some hella big shit. Because then what's going to happen is the voters going to be like, oh, man, Prosecutor James is like, yo, we trying to get all these people. And they trying to do this, do that. And then they get off. This is the same thing with Diddy. It's the same thing with these cop cases. The same thing with these white-collar crimes. The same thing with Donald Trump and all these other people. Stop overcharging people. Just be like, yo, we're going to charge you for the shit we need to get your ass in jail with. Not the shit that's gonna get the look. If you do that, more people will be in jail.
Yeah, it should have been, you know, sex trafficking and domestic abuse. That's what it should have been. And I think domestic abuse is the reason he's in jail right now. And well, at least I don't think. I know that's what the judge was saying.
The judge was basically saying, like, look, man, this man didn't put hands on Cassie. He put hands on Jane Doe. Y'all can sit up here and say, like, hey, you know, he's no threat to society. But we've clearly seen this man get violent on video, you know what I'm saying? We gonna let him sit in here for a little longer because at the end of the day, we didn't grant bail prior to this, and we ain't finna grant it now. You know, so his team made a good case for him to come home though. And I was 50-50. I'm like, hey, he probably might come home today, but I could see
no part of me thought that he was coming. I know everybody on timeline was trying to be Angela Valdez, but no part of me thought he was actually gonna be let free. I'm thinking he's gonna do it's not gonna be a lot. It's not gonna be a lot at all. I said because the funny thing is, so I was in the gym this morning and I'm on the treadmill or whatever, and you know, I had the TVs up in the gym. It was like breaking news. Diddy, they've reached a verdict. So I'm like, oh, let me go to Twitter first. The news gonna get this shit late as hell, and I don't want Bang to beat me in the group chat. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, let me get a battle to get them links in the group chat. I don't know if you've been paying attention. I've been beating Mikey for like a week now.
Y'all was gonna win today, because as soon as I saw that, I was like, I was gonna call. I said, yo, we gotta go to work.
Yeah, like nigga, that 15 minutes went by so fast. I'm like, oh shit, what's going on? But so to me, man, like if you look at like the whole thing, everybody's like, oh, he's going home today. Like, no, at first I thought after they said everything, I was like, okay, 10 years, with they'll have the 10 months, he'll probably be able to have David come home after like 5 years. Now I'm thinking he's going to probably get charged with like 4 or 5, and then like he probably can get probation after like 2 or some shit like that. I don't think he's going to be spending much in there at all, but I do believe he's going to get some time. Which, you know, for him, like, yeah, obviously it's not good, but it's better than life. I'd rather you tell me, or I'll be home in like 2028, you know, besides, nigga, you ain't never come home. So,
yeah. And then on top of that, I mean, he's still in there for like, it'll be September. It'll be September, which is a year.
October 3rd
is when October is the sentencing.
Yeah, October 3rd at 10 a.m. They're trying to get his lawyers are trying to get it boosted up, and the judge says he's open to it being earlier, but right now it's October 3rd at 10 a.m., a.k.a. the Bears will be like 5-4 by that point. oh, not 5-4, 3-2 at that point.
Do they beat the Cowboys week 3?
I ain't going to hold you.
Easily. That's easily. You're going to beat the Cowboys. There's a lot. There's a lot of games I'm worried about on our schedule.
So you ain't worried about week 3, huh?
The Cowboys are not one of them.
I'm not in football mode yet, so I ain't going to debate that. You know what I'm saying? We'll get to that closer to the season.
Yeah, I'm enjoying my 3 weeks of peace before I have to drive an hour and a half out to Hallis Hall every day for a month.
Scott, everybody going to use this. Everybody likes to use, what does this mean for hip hop? So in this case, seeing what happened to Diddy, what this mean for the culture?
I mean, hip hop's already fucked with without Diddy. So let's get that straight. I saw a picture that said, what's the best album 2025? I ain't heard none of them. Like, I don't know. But overall, I don't really think it means that.
GNX.
We're gonna
came out in November 2024.
Yeah, we're gonna give Dot this year anyway. shout out to Dot on his he in Germany right now. Shout out to him while Drake is getting fake ass, but whatever. I don't really think it means much because hip hop really never had any shame, but it really don't have no shame now. I mean, just see some of the reactions when you know he was only guilty on 2 charges, which some idiots at home thought he was not guilty in general, because you know there's some people who thought Larry Hoover was gonna be out at at Portillo's by now just chilling. But I don't think it really means that much, because when he does get out, he gonna lay low for a little bit, then the community is gonna embrace him. R. Kelly could get out of jail today and give it a month, and then you gonna hear something, you gonna have somebody, yo, I love Kales on this remix, like. And not only would it be like the community, the fans. I don't know if y'all been noticing. People get more and more bold admitting that they listen to Sylvester still. Like, I've been seeing it on people, IG stories. Like, I don't want to, put Lou Young on blast, but I saw Lou Young IG story yesterday. He's playing an R. Kelly song. I'm like, people get more and more bold. Like, yo, I still listen to Sylvester, bro. So I don't think there's any shame here. People going to be,
I would tell y'all on any platform, if Trade of My Life come on, I'm playing it. It's letting it play. Sorry. and I know it's probably the wrong song to play for him, considering
he didn't trade R. Kelly's life for nothing.
I'm playing it.
Depending on the song, if it comes on, I might not turn it off. I will not willingly turn on R.
That's
Kelly.
That's my exact thought right there. I don't get in the car and say, let me put on that TP2 if it comes on the playlist and I like the record, I'll let it play.
I always say this, like, and this is completely destroys everything I'm talking about Puppy, but I'm just gonna say it. I always said the Usher's king of R&B crown is like when I'm like on Game of Thrones when Joffrey was king. Like, you ain't really like, You a Baratheon, like you a Lannister, my nigga. Like, you're not even a Baratheon for real. Like, that crown ain't really yours. But it's like by default. It's like, bang, I'm gonna use a wrestling reference. It's like when somebody got dropped the title because they hurt. That's what we be talking about. Usher, the King of R&B. That's what it is. But my point being,
Shawn Michaels lost a smile.
Right, like Becky Lynch mm-hmm. threw the title and they got to give it to some new chick. Like yeah. that's what it
was
is.
Like, I'm pregnant. Oscar was like, oh,
right, exactly. That's what it is. But my overall point is it doesn't mean anything because one, I don't really think there's like a hip hop as a community anymore. Number one, which depresses me all the time. Number two, people have no shame. I think niggas would love to be the first nigga to get Puff Talk on their record again. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how I feel. But my brother called it to a T. When he gets out of jail, he not doing Take That, Take That. That gospel album is coming out. 100%. And Kirk Franklin, hear me and hear me clearly. No. No. Stay away. Don't do it. Did you see when he pitched him praying on the seat?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, come on, bro. Like, that's going to be the play.
Hey. Okay. R. Kelly, Pariah. I get it. If Diddy would have been found guilty, how in the world could you not play a Diddy Bad Boy song?
Well, see, here's the thing. By a Diddy song for by himself is easy. If we going off Diddy Productions, you can give it up. I mean, that's impossible. it's impossible.
Mean,
like,
I mean, we couldn't play Victory No More?
If he was found guilty?
Play Biggie
we
verse,
couldn't
cut
play
it
Hold Me Down no more.
Look, man.
We couldn't play
hold
me
More down.
Money, More Problems no more.
Oh,
can't
okay.
nobody hold me down. We couldn't play that no more.
Nah. I'll be real.
Not willingly.
I'm be real. I never really played that anymore anywhere because I never forgave Nas. Not Nas, but Mace Felipe. To be completely honest. I feel like Mace abandoned me as a young youth and growing up. Like,
so we would have to start More Money, More Problems with, who was that? Jadakiss? Who got the second verse?
You mean All About the Benjamins?
All About the Benjamins.
We would have to start All About the Benjamins. When?
Who got the
but
second
see,
verse?
See, look. And, yeah, and this
first,
is... And,
oh, yeah, Jada.
And Bang, I think we talked about this in summer session. This is when we get into the slippery slope because you can go back to old school music too. Like, so y'all, if niggas really know about Marvin Gaye, you wouldn't be listening to Marvin Gaye. Like, type of shit Marvin Gaye was on. And like... And Bang don't want to admit it, but it is what it is. Like, so that's why I was like, I don't really get mad when people say, oh, I'm not, I can accept my biggest issue with R. Kelly was this song was about his victims. That's like, when I found that out, I was like, okay, I personally can't do it. Whatever people do in their free time, that's up for them. He ruined one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs ever. You Are Not Alone. When I found out that was about a 15-year-old miscarriage, I can't hear it no more. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's just me, though.
Whoa,
I don't judge anybody for it.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Hold on, Brandon.
I know where this going.
What Bill Withers do? Hold on. glad that he said that. Nope. I'm glad.
Hey. See, Brandon, now you're going to do what some people do. Like, people want to cuss me out when I was like, oh, you mean when James Brown threw a woman off a balcony? Like, and like, oh, don't talk about our heroes.
I know about James Brown.
Not James Brown. I mean Jim Brown. My bad. Jim Brown. But both of them.
Oh, Jim Brown was still Jim.
He said, Bang, can you still watch a Chris Benoit match? That's a good question.
Yeah, you shit.
Oh, shit.
His
content is still on WWE Network, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you go back to, like, those, you can watch that.
I feel like Triple H disappeared that nigga. No, maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not going to play the song.
Said, why we can't play Lovely Day? Why we can't play Lovely Day?
But I'm glad that Brando brought up Bill Withers because Magic Johnson gave us the greatest stunt of
all time. I never felt more poor than when I saw this video. I'm like, all right, Magic.
as broke as I am right now, I felt like I had to file for bankruptcy 3 times after seeing this video.
This morning I was on a treadmill at Planet Fitness. This nigga's on a treadmill in the south of France.
Come on, Denise.
I did not know Bill Withers was crazy.
I mean, that like, Bang, what'd you say? I will not put anything past entertainment, bro.
I wouldn't. I just didn't know. Lovely Day is such an amazing song, though. Like, if you were to say, what are the top 5 songs that when you hear it make you happy, with or without seeing Magic Johnson on a treadmill on a yacht? Anytime that I hear Lovely Day, my mood changes. I am a happy guy. It is lit. You mean
said, that wasn't a lovely day?
you mean to tell me that Bill Withers wasn't shit either?
Oh. G-Russ512, he been going crazy in the comments.
Oh, okay, I will say this though, even though we not on Patreon, this is my
next. Goddamn! Oh, wait a goddamn minute. Said the man flew to Arizona when she. Oh damn!
Is there any artist you not canceling on any grounds?
I'm not canceling anybody, bro. Like, I mean, look,
I will listen.
I learned to separate. I separate the artists.
Hold on, Mike. Look, when you say any grounds, what does that mean?
Any grounds that don't involve children, because that's
okay. That's
what I can't do it. Yeah, any grounds that don't involve children.
So murder.
Like if that thing with Jay-Z actually happened. I painfully would have had to got rid of my collection because that's a 13-year-old, my nigga. Like, you know, I can't do that.
So kids murder?
What are you referring to, babe?
Have you heard the blueprint?
What are you talking about?
Have you heard the blueprint? And that's not Brandon. Look, Brett Ratner's a sicko. You mean I'm think I'm gonna stop watching Rush Hour?
Hey, I got one. Okay. Ask the question again, Scott.
Okay. Is there any grounds that you wouldn't give up listening to one of your favorite artists or really just any favorite of yours? Like, is there any grounds? Like, what's the cutoff point? Like, so I'm trying to think. Bang, who's your favorite artist, period?
Favorite artist, period, at this point in time right now, I would say Jay-Z.
Okay, so is there any is what's the so all three of us are Jay-Z. What does Jay-Z have to do for us to be like, I can't listen to home.
Kill a woman or rape a kid.
Okay. Yeah.
Can't do that.
In that you in said that kill area. A woman. So if he kill a nigga, it don't matter.
Because it depends. He probably killed that nigga for peace.
Yeah. I think it just depends. It depends. Like, I agree with where you at with that, bang. Like, it got to be like on the grounds of types, like some wild shit with like
children. Yeah, it's got to be children. Children is the I can't do it.
You protect women and children. I'll give you another one. It's probably nothing that Anita Baker can do wrong. I am always gonna listen to giving you the best that I got. Anytime it come on, I'ma play it. I'm gonna play Anita Baker's greatest hits. I'm gonna play Rapture. I'm gonna play all that shit. Anita Baker, some people say Anita Baker ain't shit. Some people say she ain't nice. I don't care. It's not gonna stop me. And y'all know how I feel about Keith Sweat. I can't stand that nigga from what happened. That don't classic mean if too. Right way and the wrong way come on. That don't mean I'm gonna hate Right Way or the Wrong Way. That is an amazing ass song. Now, it is very questionable song. Nonetheless, but
this person brings up a good. This person in the chat brings up a good point. You just said you watched Bill Wild matches. That nigga killed everybody.
Did he have CTE or something? Did he pull out CTE or some shit?
I don't care what it was. He killed a woman and a kid and a child, his own.
And if a Chris Benoit match come on, I'm not going out to search like Chris Benoit versus Chris Jericho.
Right.
But if it come on, I'm like, damn, why you have to be?
If he a part of this pay-per-view that you're watching, you just got to reminisce and just be like, man, why was he such a piece of shit? Why did he do this? Look, because he was so fucking great.
I put you like this with Chris Benoit. When he had that triple threat with Triple H and Shawn Michaels, and then he win at the end, and then the confetti come down. Anytime I watch that match now, I'm like, damn, why you have to be an ancient nigga? Yeah. Man, that's kind of fucked up.
And I think about this too. Like, if I'm listening to a Puff, this is how I feel when Puff comes on. If a Puff record come on, that's gonna be my first thought. Even though he was found not guilty on these charges, we know everything that he's done these past 15 to 20 years. He was a piece of shit to Cassie. Ooh. Why was he like this? I would love to know why, and I'm gonna question that when this record comes on.
There's a record of Puff that used to get played all the goddamn time. It was gonna get played. Well, now I don't hear it. I don't foresee it being played anywhere ever again. That's how I'll be missing you. That song's dead. Sting ain't gonna be getting the money he used to get.
Well, Sting got a lot over these last 30 years.
There's enough.
Them checks. Yeah, I mean, but we don't really need Miss Unimo when you got to see you again by Wiz. Like, you want to be real, Wiz kind of replaced that a couple years ago. Like,
I mean, yeah.
If you want, like, they don't ask, even before this, but they didn't invite Puff to come perform when Kobe died. They invited Wiz. Like, that's here, true. come do the Fast and Furious song real quick. Like,
has Puff Records been on the radio? Have we heard? Are they still playing Puff Records
on the radio?
I mean, not an actual Puff song.
Yeah.
I've not heard a Puff song.
Well, I really don't listen to radio like that, so I can't really. Yeah, I heard Puff produce music.
Yeah,
if you want to watch artists, nobody was happier than me when I heard Not Guilty doing the Michael Jackson trial. Like, do you know how hard it would have been to give up Michael Jackson? When that nigga stood on top of that Escalade and did the with the perm out, I was like, yes. He didn't do it.
Oh yeah. Imagine all the people that lost them lives in Budapest and Ukraine and Czechoslovakia and Croatia trying to watch Michael Jackson for him to get found guilty of some shit if that would have happened. That would have been a
I will die on the hill to say Michael Jackson was taken advantage of by
money hungry
people. The man was Michael Jackson was the nicest person ever in life, and people took advantage of that.
Mike was 100% a weirdo, but that's what happens when you're locked in the studio at 5 years old.
Yeah,
at 5 years old, what do you want? What do you expect him? You think he's not gonna be talking to chimpanzees? Like, imagine what you were doing at 5 years old. I was watching Darkwing Duck. And eating peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And they told this nigga, no.
Mike in the lab.
We got to mix them vocals. I want to be in the studio.
And if you don't mix these vocals correctly, go outside and get the switch.
imagine you 5 years old. They tell you, you got to do your ad-libs again. Like, no. See, of course he going to be weird, bro.
See, Brando, I'm sorry. I don't think I could do that. If I heard Money More Problems, I'm listening to the whole thing.
That had to be a DJ doing that. A DJ party like was mixing and cut it to big version.
Like, I can see some of these older artists, right? Because I'm younger, so it's like when you find out shit, I ain't got to listen to it. But I ain't never heard my daddy say, "Man, I ain't listening to no goddamn Marvin Gaye no more. This man was a perv." Like, I ain't never heard that. But see, here's the thing. I understand. I truly understand. Because these are artists that you grew up with listening to, and you probably can remember where you were the first time you heard this song or you watched this movie or whatever. So, yeah, it was a lot of pervs in the 70s and the 80s. But I ain't never heard my daddy say, "No, I ain't listen to that shit." And I know my father.
Think about every piece of entertainment we have. I'm talking sports, music, movies, TVs, and you had to judge about off who's a good person. We'd be looking at the wall. We'd be looking at the wall. Like, honestly, we'd be looking at the wall. Even you know, what we could say, we all love Tupac. There was rape allegations. There, you know, he went to jail, you know, for one of those charges. You know, there's stuff with and by the way, this is for the idiots out there. I'm not saying any of this. I'm not condoning anything. We're just having a conversation, about how people think.
Yeah, because I got something for Russ. I got something for Russ in a minute. Go ahead and finish, Scott.
But so, like, to me, if I look at that, like, obviously, look, like, I don't know what movies Harry Weinstein made. I'm pretty sure I've seen more than enough of them. But I know Brett Ratner is a piece of shit. But am I going to stop watching Rush Hour and he directed it? No, I'm not. I'm just not. So it's like, I'm not condoning. I feel like I'm going to keep saying this. Look at Stephen A. like LeBron James. He's a great father, you know, philanthropist. You got to say this every time. But like when it comes to actual, I don't judge anybody for listening to or treating entertainers the way they want to do it. My problem is when you go around trying to get attention about it. Oh, I'm still listening to R. Kelly. Like, okay, nigga, keep that to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like that's my only issue with it. And then I think even the Puff thing today, that's why, like, when it comes to why women don't come out, it's because of shit like this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that every allegation is true. But you're really seeing all why victims don't run to you know, accuse somebody of something outside of civil cases and stuff. So really just in general, a lot of entertainers, as you know, working in the entertainment business, are shit people. You know what I'm saying? And it is what it is.
Look, this is to Russ. Russ said, to be fair, bang, social media didn't exist back in the day. Hey, Russ, do you know what existed back in the day, though? Jet. Ebony.
Ebony.
That existed.
Yep.
Did you get the little small-ass Jet magazines and you saw some shit up in there? That shit ain't stopping you. Like, let's not use social media didn't exist back in the day. Because magazines existed, nigga. And you would get a magazine and you'll see a black couple on the front of that. Nate's they are couple goals, and then you'll see the same couple divorced because he did some dumb shit. I guarantee to you, if somebody read Jet magazine and that day, because remember, Ebony and Jet was social media to us back in that day. If you read something in that magazine and it was something you ain't like, yeah, your ass ain't gonna be in the top 20 singles at the end of it. That
also
that social media wasn't around is no.
And also, Bang, there's a little invention that people forgot about.
Oh, go ahead.
There's a little invention that used to be called the daily newspaper. No, people don't know about it anymore. But
it wasn't social media.
Damien, I never liked Bill Cosby, by the way. I just want to throw that out there.
Oh, wait a minute.
I was ahead of the curve on Bill Cosby. Damien.
Can you watch Bill Cosby? Yes, I still watch The Cosby Show to this day.
Can I give y'all a hot take?
If it comes on.
I never liked Bill Cosby when he was telling people, pull your pants up, stop wearing jerseys. I'm like, oh, this old nigga. Like, so I was ahead of the curve of hating Bill Cosby. The only thing I like in Bill Cosby is Different World. That is it.
Damien, you first. Can you watch Bill Cosby shows? I wasn't the biggest Cosby Show fan, but I love A Different World. I'm going to watch that. And
y'all like Different World better than The Cosby Show?
Way better. Way better. I never knew any black families with a doctor and a lawyer in the house. Yeah, I grew up on the South Side.
Teachers own.
I grew up on the West Side. But here's the thing. But wait a minute. But here's the thing. He said movies and Damien, ain't nobody clamoring to watch a Bill Cosby movie after Let's Do It Again. That's it. Like, that Let's Do It Again, Uptown Saturday Night, and I forgot the third movie. Them three are the only joints. If you are watching any Bill Cosby movie after 1979, you need to be drug tested. You need to do something better with your life. Bill Cosby, after 1979, have some of the worst movies of all time. Ain't nobody trying to see no goddamn Leonard Part 6 or no goddamn Ghost Dad. Leonard Part 6 is the worst movie I have ever seen in my life. Bill Cosby is throwing hot dogs off of an ostrich and trying to save the world. For some random ass reason, the only thing I like about Leonard Part 6 is the song at the end of the movie. Not because it's the end of the movie, but it's a great song. But also, it is the end of the movie. If you are watching any Bill Cosby movie outside of Let's Do It Again and goddamn Uptown Saturday Night, we need to have a real conversation of what you're doing with your life. Now, to Russ, here's the thing. I don't know how old Russ is, but old niggas don't give a shit about social media. And they don't give a shit about what people say in social media because they don't give a damn, more than likely, if the nigga next door say that they don't listen to Marvin Gaye. Because I'm going to play that motherfucking shit. For years, people used to say that goddamn Teddy Pendergrass, the reason why he got into the accident, because he was getting hit by a transvestite in the car. Like, there's rumors all day long about old black celebrities. Yeah. Guess what the fuck happens? They play the shit. They play it. They still play it. No matter what Marvin Gaye rumor, no matter what James Brown rumor, no matter what Prince rumor, no matter what whoever rumor, they gonna play the shit. They don't give a damn. They don't give a damn about their personal life. Nigga, you gonna make me dance. Can I listen to you while I'm playing spades? Can I listen to you while I'm cleaning my house? That's it. They could get that Jet magazine and be like, oh, this person was a rapist. Oh, man, that's fucked up. And then they would put the 45 of that record on that motherfucker right now and play it. Russ, No, nobody care about that shit.
Yeah, I ain't never heard a nigga say I'm just gonna cut on this Bill Cosby movie.
Yeah,
like I ain't that old.
My man said Bill Cosby. My man said Bill Cosby was a media man. Yeah, he was in that bitch for 2 seconds.
2 seconds, right?
He did this. he did this, and the dog. That's what he did.
Except
man,
would you watch a Hulk Hogan movie?
No, what are you doing?
Yeah, you just found it random shit that we watch.
Random shit. Would you watch a Hulk Hogan movie? I've never watched a Hulk Hogan movie in my life, my friend.
Hulk Hogan got movies?
You know what Hulk Hogan movie I watched? Yeah, you do. You know what Hulk Hogan movie I watched? WrestleMania 3. All right, that's what I watched. All right. all my Hulk Hogan movies was watched on Coliseum Home Video. Now, before we get out of here, because Mike got to be a dad, man. So before we got to get out of here, a couple of quick hits before we get out of here. The NBA is in full, NBA free agency is in full swing. And Scott, I got you out here. Got you on here to talk about this real quick. The Lakers just signed DeAndre Ayton, so that the first pick and the third pick of that draft are now one team. Denver is redoing their whole team. Giannis might be happy, depending on who you talk to, with Miles Turner on the team. The Indiana Pacers went from Game 7 to the NBA Finals to the ghetto. Real quick. So what are y'all thoughts about NBA free agency and who's winning it so far?
Well, first of all, the free agency, your dad's free agency is over. Like, the second apron has ruined free agency as we know it. Like, even look at the teams who got restricted free agents. I think it was Chris Haynes or Shams who said it, that they're having hard times agreeing to deals for restricted free agents because of money. That's why you ain't seen the Bulls automatically say, yeah, we're going to give Giddy $30 million a year, you know, or some of these others. This is a role player free agency. But if I had to say who I think is killing it right now, the Denver Nuggets are killing it right now. The Denver Nuggets are killing it. I think Houston's having a really good offseason. It's a 40-degree day in L.A. This is one thing I've known about sports fans, why Pete. Sports, you will always talk yourself into some mid if it's your team. I see niggas on my timeline hype about DeAndre Ayton. I saw a tweet. JJ Redick is going to return to podcasting after game 10 of coaching that nigga. Like, it is – no. Like, and everybody keeps saying, oh, well, it was the only thing available. That don't make it good. It's like when people say In-N-Out Burger is good because it's $5. Nigga, I'd rather go to Fat Burger and pay more money for a better burger. Like, no, it's not. It doesn't move the needle. The thing about the NBA right now, and Bang said this, real GM in his back. Like, I don't think OKC is going anywhere. Like, now that they, not to say they're going to run off a couple, obviously, it's been a parody era, but they're going to be there. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think there's anything the Lakers did that's changing. LeBron might not even be there. LeBron might not even be there. I definitely think it's a 50-50 chance. I think Wendy said it today that on Sunday he said the door was closed. If y'all hear playing in the background, my fault. The window is open. Wendy said that on Wednesday he thought the door was closed to LeBron leaving. But he said he ain't. He said it's not open, but the door is unlocked. So I think it's a 50-50 chance. I think both of them niggas don't. I think the Lakers don't want LeBron there, and I don't think LeBron wants to be there. I think it's like when both of y'all want to break up, they just got to have an honest conversation with each other and say, just let me go. They're not going to be able to trade them. A buyout wouldn't surprise me, but it doesn't move me if I was a Laker fan. But I love Houston. I think the biggest question with Houston, will KD still be playing come playoff time? Which is a legit question every year since he got hurt. But and as far as Giannis, okay, look, Giannis can play that I don't know shit all he wants. First of all, Shams said he was behind bringing Miles Turner. So you don't think that the front office said, yeah, we're gonna have to cut Dame in order to do this. I don't buy that whatsoever. He's trying to save face and he knows he don't care. I don't know how much that helps Milwaukee because Miles Turner wasn't necessarily good offensively. In these playoffs, defensively, he can help, but Milwaukee's just in a state of just trying shit. So also, and I just want to say, I read about this on my YouTube today. Mike Brown ain't it. Knicks fans, y'all can sit up here and lie to yourselves all y'all want. Mike Brown ain't it. Like, Mike Brown is not a...
What the fuck they fired Tibbs for?
That's I was about to say, like...
And that's my point. Like, I was 100% behind them firing Tibbs because I thought they're going to do the logical move and go get Michael Malone. That's what I thought was happening. I'm like, oh, he championship winning coach. They're going to do that. You can't get rid of Tibbs and go to Mike Brown. I think Mike Brown is a good coach, but he's a good coach for an up-and-coming team. Not a team that has to win now. You're going to have to break up this very expensive team. Like, next year is make a break for the Knicks. They have to make the finals. Mike Brown is not getting you over the finals. And this, I know fans had to lose you because Knicks fans really tried to sit up here and tell me that he is creative offensively. I was like, nigga, go sit down somewhere because you
but see, there. Go ahead, Scott. Go ahead.
I'll just like sit over there because you don't know what you're talking about. And then, like, oh, they were ranked number two with the Kings 2 years ago. Okay, that's cool. I'm not calling him offensively creative. Like, this nigga's Mike D'Antoni or something like that. Like, it's got to be, if you're going to get rid of a good coach in Tibbs, and I'm one of Tibbs' biggest critics, but if you're going to get rid of a coach like Tibbs, who took you to your first conference finals in a quarter of a century, back-to-back 50-win seasons for the first time in like 30 years, you got to replace him with somebody you know is going to take you to the next level. Mike Brown ain't it. Mike Brown is not it whatsoever, and Knicks fans know that. They're going to be cussing him out by January.
But let me ask you this, Scott. So you said that Mike Brown not going to get him over the hump. I mean, but when you really look at the Eastern Conference atmosphere right now, me and Bang talked about this last week. I mean, are the Knicks the clear-cut favorites to win the East? The East is pretty handicapped right now. So, I mean, you would think that. I mean, it got to be the Knicks. It's got to be the Knicks. It's either the Knicks or the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're the teams that's going into the season with pretty much their same rosters. So,
Mike, Scott, I'm going to give Mike a wrestling reference. There's Royal Rumbles, and then there's Battle Royals.
Yeah.
The East is a Battle Royal.
It's a Battle Royal, huh? I mean, I'm with you, but the Knicks are the favorites to come out of the East.
I can't do that.
Royal Rumble, you come out between 27 and 30, you're more than likely going to win. Battle Royal, everybody start off at the same time. You might have Andre the Giant over there, and we're going to need some help out there. Yeah, we might have
Visible. Here's another. There. Mike, I'll give you this.
But, nah.
If Tibbs was still there, I'd be with you. The fact that they have a new coach, I can't give them that. I don't know what the team's going to look like. I don't think there is a favorite right now because Indiana then went to the ghetto so quickly. Like that, they might be a Jeopardy question. That's kind of unfair to them because they had a really, really good 2 years. But you know, in sports, we don't care about second place. Unless you like a sports diehard, like you ask me right now, who lost the 1987 NBA Finals? I can tell you. The random NBA fan ain't going to know. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't care about the winners. We're not going to care about the Indiana run. Like, I think there's Orlando looks really good right now. I told
Bang last week Orlando was looking solid. Bang said he said he wasn't sure. And Detroit, yeah. I mean, he's big on Detroit.
I'm a Detroit guy.
Hey,
he's big on Detroit.
Who did Detroit just sign? They signed somebody.
Duncan Robinson.
That's not moving the needle.
Did you see the amount of shots they missed against the Knicks? And they may pass to them. They go to the next round. So that's a good one. I want to see what else Milwaukee has in store. Because a healthy Giannis will you can give me healthy Giannis. Their biggest problem, they couldn't beat Indiana. Indiana's not going to be an issue. But I think Orlando looks really, really good. Cleveland, if they don't break it up. Because there's rumors about them getting rid of people. You know, Darius Garland's been on the trade market and things like that. And who knows, LeBron might be on the team. LeBron might be on the team.
Because I see Ramos up in the chat. Let me remind y'all what Scott said. and what mindset y'all got to get out of. This is the role player free agency. And quite honestly, for the next couple of years, as long as this CBA is around, this is the role player CBA. The first and separate Aiken, I've messed that all up. The first and second apron is make the early 70s to the mid 90s again, where they're trying to spread out the talent. So you're not going to see two and three stars on every squad like you used to. That's why I've also said on this podcast, on this show, it is real coaching and GM hours. If you have a star and a half and you have a quality bench, you are more than likely going to be one of the top teams in the NBA unless you drafted very well and had a whole bunch of picks like the Oklahoma City Thunder. So a couple of years ago, a Duncan Robinson and some of these other role players you get signed wouldn't mean shit. But now, when you got to spread out the talent, the Duncan Robinson person becomes just as important as some of the players you saw in the 90s with the Chicago Bulls, with some of those people in the 80s, like you saw on the Celtics and on the Lakers. Like, some of these bench players become just as important as Kurt Rambis was.
Oh, I got the Celtics hot take.
Hold on, Scott. But see, but I didn't say like Duncan Robinson not moving the needle because he's not a star player or anything like that. Tim Hardaway walked. Duncan Robinson and Tim Hardaway are damn near the same player. They streaky shooters. That's why I said they're not moving the needle. It's not moving the needle for Detroit.
Well, also,
they're the same player. They're the same exact player. They either on or they off.
I don't disagree with that. But I'm also putting into the fact that I believe Cade is going to get better. Like, Cade is still young.
Yeah, right.
So you got to put some room for that.
Detroit is definitely going to take a step forward. Like, I don't disagree with that at all.
And when you look at Duncan Robinson a couple of years ago, he was on. I think that Miami just changed the course of what they was doing, and they became more of a gritty team. I think Cade is going to make some of these players. But on the flip side, though, Tim Hardaway Jr. going to Denver?
Hey, I'm telling you, man, I like the West, bro. I really like the West. And I'll say this two things about the East. My hot take on the Celtics, I still think the Celtics are going to be good. They're not going to make the NBA Finals good. I think I like Simons on that team. And I like Anthony Simons on that team. And let's be real. Like, we got to be real about Porzingis and Drew here. Drew been washed for about a full year. Like, we got to – Drew was getting his ass bust in the playoffs. Like, we got to be honest about that, number one. Number two, Porzingis never played. They got a little squeeze out of him in the NBA final play, 2024 playoffs. That's it. I think Simons is going to be good. I think Jaylen Brown, he gonna show y'all that he's good enough to at least get this team to the playoffs. I think they're still going to be a very good regular season team. And if they could just hold down the fourth until Jason Tatum comes back the season after, granted, we don't know how he's going to look, but Jaylen Brown can really, really prove his worth. He got a massive contract. He better earn every cent of that. But here's my last take on the East. The East will be won by the January or February trade deadline, whatever month it is. That's what I think. Then we're going to be able to reevaluate. We're going to see who's playing what. Whoever wins at the deadline, that's what I think. But the champ coming out the West. I'll say that right now. On July 2nd, 2025, the champ coming out the West. We got OKC back. Mike.
No, how do you feel about OK? How do you feel about OKC though? Like, you do you feel like?
Yeah, man. Look, as long as they don't get hurt, God bless.
And that's what I was trying to say. Bang don't believe. Bang don't necessarily believe.
I'm still not sure.
He not sold on the fact that he feel like they need to make moves in free agency. No,
this is what I said, Mike. I said I don't know
if they're gonna be hungry. Team, if they're gonna be hungry.
Yeah, if a young team winning the title. Is they're going to be hungry enough to go out of number two? I don't know that yet. That's the scary part about it.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to win because in this league's NBA, who knows? But they're going to be there. Yeah. They're going to be there. And I think that the reason I think the reason the Celtics lost this year, outside of the Tatum injury, because me, the Tatum injury got nothing to do with it. They were losing that game, even if Tatum didn't get hurt. Like I think a lot of you forget that. They were losing, they were down 13 when Tatum tore his Achilles.
Yeah,
that game was over. But the reason they lost is they play a stupid brand of basketball. I know everybody shoots threes, but they shoot so many ill-advised threes, like, and they just gonna keep shooting it. That's not OKC's game. That's not OKC's game. And Shea is gonna get better and better and better. Jalen Williams is gonna get better and better. And I think a year healthy of Chet, I'm not saying they're gonna go back to back, they're gonna be there. They're gonna be there for sure. And Houston, I love KD. KD's one of my favorite players. I gotta see him healthy, because if he's not healthy, it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? But Denver, man. Denver, y'all, like, Denver, they went farther than a lot of you thought they was going. Like, they almost knocked Thunder out, bro. Like, they almost not, like, Jokic
Do Russ re-sign with Denver now? He ain't even no space on the team for him now.
And really. Russ, I don't know where Russ is going. It might be quiet for Russ. I ain't gonna lie.
I think it is. But
I want people in the chat to stop asking Bulls questions. Okay, the Bulls are done. Unless Michael Reinsdorf has the balls to sell the team when his daddy goes somewhere, there's nothing to talk about with that basketball team. You see this picture right here? This was 30 years ago. It's not happening again. Okay. It's not happening. The championship is not happening, bro.
I can see light at the end of the tunnel for the Bulls. Not now, obviously, but
no. I see it more for the White Sox than I see the Bulls. At least the White Sox have some young talent that you like to watch. I don't know who these niggas got. Like,
hey man, I still, but as far as free agency though is concerned, obviously, yeah, I Houston has made a lot of moves, but I told Bag last week, I said that Houston was gonna be a play-in team. I still kind of stand on that shit because Kevin Durant ain't shit, bro.
That's not a hot take.
Kevin Durant is not a good teammate. Okay.
Nah. Okay. I ain't saying all that. I'm saying
he's not a good teammate. I said it last week. He's gonna ruin the Houston Rockets franchise. He's gonna ruin everything they did, all because he doesn't know how to be a good teammate to his organization. You know what I'm saying? He ruins organizations. I feel like the Houston Rockets will be ruined. I don't care if they added Clint Capella. I don't care about, you know what I'm saying, all the other moves. Who else did they add? They added Clint Capella and they added somebody else. Who did they get?
I forgot already. Yeah,
who was it? It was Clint Capella and somebody else. But anyway, like, yeah. I think Finney Smith, get the fuck out of here. Finney Smith, I guess everybody praises him for his great defense, quote unquote. But I mean, like, he's one of them streaky shooters, man. He either on or he off. Finney Smith ain't getting y'all through the door. All right.
I'm gonna end the show like this. What I'm so glad about the second apron, like what I am happy about when it comes to the second apron, is the Wiley veteran is back. The Wiley
veteran is back.
The Dale Davises of the world. The Dale Davises of the world. Dale Davises
is back. The Ricky Pierces are back, fam. Even the Bobby Hansons are back, my G. Like, those players
Bobby
are
Hanson
back.
Like, back.
Yeah, the Antonio and Dale Davises, they're back, fam.
The Cedric Ceballos era is back.
Oh, man. They're back. Like, when you get that basketball card and you ain't get Mike or Shaq or whatever, but you got one of those Wiley veteran on the Magic. Like,
Aaron Neesmith is goated for this last run. Like, we're going to be telling our kids about Aaron Neesmith run.
Yeah, like, the Vinny Johnsons are back, fam. Like, if Lou Williams.
The Michael Wade.
Yeah, like if the Lou Williams and the Jamal Crawfords was in this day, they'd be one of the greatest players in the league coming off the bench. Why? Because this is their time. We got to spread this money around, but now we got to get the bench set up. The real bench mobs are back. I'm happy about that. Now, when I watch the NBA, I feel like now with this second apron, Like, I feel like things are going to be spreaded around. There we go. The Larry Christoviacs. Those are the Brad Lohauses is back. You're going to now need to know about the bench players like you know about the stars, fam. The Alvin Robinsons are back, fam. We need
the Matt Geigers are back.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
The George Lynches of the world are back.
The Aaron McKees are back, fam.
The Aaron McKees.
The Eric Snows are back.
And they getting great salaries. Great salary for Wiley Vet nowadays.
The Andres Nocionis are back.
Oh, man. Oh.
You could be a Wiley Vet. The
Judd Butchler era is back.
The Judd Butchler era is back. The Calbert Chaney era. The Calbert Chaneys are back. The Allen Hendersons are back. You're going to have to know.
The era is back.
Well, that's Bronny James, but no.
Yeah, y'all see KD basically tell Bron that Bronny probably shouldn't be doing
it. Man told him his son, your son 6'2"? He basically, your son 6'2", right? He ain't got a place in here. He ain't got a place in here no more. Now, when your other son come, what do you like, 6'5", 6'6"?
Yeah, oh, Bryce, better for him.
Yeah, Bryce, better for him. But Bronny, man.
I think the NBA will be entertaining when I tune in after the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, so, they still should just start the season at Christmas. And then, they still should.
Yeah, because I'm be real. I didn't even watch Christmas last year. I'm Roger Goodell has a hold.
Yeah, he definitely got he definitely fucking the NBA up right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. He's like beat him up again, kick him again. That's Roger Goodell. Kick him again. Yeah. He's right. He gonna mess around, have a game on NBA Open Tonight 1 year. Watch,
man.
Yeah, get him niggas Texans Jags. Get him niggas Texans Jags, right?
But no, man. Scott, I know this is your network, so everybody know that you got shows and you got your own little YouTube or whatever, but go ahead and talk about
it. Bang Matt, I started my own YouTube channel. Anyway, at Bar Chess Scott on YouTube. Follow me. I got a lot of stuff going on there. I got the Scott Lewis podcast debuting next Wednesday, where basically the short podcast, 30 minutes. Gonna be talking about whatever's going on. I'm gonna try to hold it to like one topic, and we just talk about that topic for like 30 minutes. So, and then I've got a very special project coming that I'm going to New York next month to shoot the first episode of. So, very, very exciting stuff coming. And then I'm not gonna hold you. We'll be back at the end of August. Shot the Bank finally got his light. Y'all couldn't see this nigga for like the last four episodes of the season. So he got his light back on. So I got a new set. So we all good and broke. Follow at Barb Chescott. I got a whole bunch of reactions, videos dropping. So check that out.
Facts. Oh,
all right, man.
I end this off real quick. Let me give some flowers out real quick, man. The other day I went to go see Tyler the Creator at the United Center for the Chromacopia tour.
You ain't go see him race?
No, I wasn't. I was unaware he was in Forest Park. Whatever he was doing, why and what he was doing in Forest Park will be the main question. That was cool to see him out there.
Why he was running across Madison Street.
I need to know. He was definitely running across Madison in Forest Park, but
wait a minute. Tyler got to explain why he was running in Forest Park, and the police got to explain why they allowed it, because we can't do shit in Forest Park. Niggas can't do shit in Forest Park.
Look, can I say this on a related Bronny James note? Somebody asked him, Dave McMinnum asked him about the speculation about where LeBron's gonna play next year. And Bronny said there's a lot of stuff going around that I don't really pay attention to. Some nigga retweeted and put, nigga, that's your father.
Yeah, he gotta answer that question a little better than that, bro. That one right there ain't gonna fly, dog.
No.
Y'all live in the same house.
LeBron James said Bronny don't care. All Bronny do is hoop and go play video games. He go hoop and play Call of Duty.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't buy that whatsoever.
I ain't buying that either.
LeBron definitely talking about that at the crib.
Yeah, I'm not buying that fam. But
Wait a minute. Real quick. I buy that LeBron James ain't telling his son shit. Because while he might be a good daddy, LeBron James strikes me as a man that's ain't going to tell his son what the fuck he going to do. He going to find that shit out on ESPN. Be like, Dad, no, your ass talk too much.
You was in there playing the game.
You got damn little ass friends on Call of Duty. You really playing a game, man. My dad talking about going to Fortnite. Next thing you
know, go on there and play Fortnite, little nigga.
Your ass talk too much.
I'm on your side now because if you seen rich people houses, I can believe that nigga, you probably don't see them at all. Like, you probably got like a guest room, like on Curb, when Curb's looking for Leon. Like, yeah, Bronny Leon.
That nigga live over there. That's where he live at. But get your flowers to Tyler, fam.
Yeah, even man. I just wanted to say, man.
Now Madison.
Yeah, he was racing out Madison. That was all cool. I love to see that as well, man. But I just got to shout him out, give him some flowers, man, because he put on a really, really dope show. I've been a Tyler the Creator fan for like since the early iFuture days, and it's just really cool and great to see like the progression of him as an artist. Because if you go back and listen to like old Tyler the Creator music, like he was very, very immature. Like very immature music, like if you was into like the old Tyler music, you know what I'm saying? You was one of them young, immature kids. Like he was very, very immature. Like the music was still good, but to see the progression that he's shown as an artist over this decade, and you can really say like he has two generations of fans. Like he has core fans from like back then 10 15 years ago to now. Like it was dope to see, man. He put on an excellent show, and I was glad to be in the building for that and to see that shit, man, because it was great. He had the United Center rocking, and I just wanted to just get a man his flowers right here on the pod, man, and just say, yo, keep doing your thing, Tyler. I would definitely recommend seeing, if you're a fan of Tyler the Creator, I would recommend seeing him live because he put on a great show. So, and he gonna be at Lolla. Y'all go if y'all
Mike didn't even let me know he was going to see Tyler the Creator.
I'm sorry, man. You wasn't gonna come.
I would have went to that one.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go to Lolla.
Nobody had a better rebrand. Nobody had a better rebrand than Tyler the Creator.
I believe so. Like once he signed that major deal with Sony and he came out with the Flower Boy album, like that was the album that like regenerated, like, you know what I'm saying, the rebranding of him. Like once he put out Flower Boy, it was superstar status from there. So it was good.
I always say Tyler is Kanye for young niggas who were unprivileged enough to actually see Kanye before he became a Nazi. Like, like nigga, Kanye used to be my nigga. Like, but now he out here making Hail Hitler song. So, you know, Tyler Creator's for them niggas, man. Nobody got a bigger pop outside of Kendrick at the pop out than Tyler. You'd have thought that Macho Man came out, and this was like WrestleMania 4. Like that's how loud his pop was last year at the Forum, bro. So salute. I don't listen to Tyler music, not really for me, but I respect Tyler. But the clips, we are 9 days away, nigga. Hey,
look, since I got both of y'all here, Clip's gonna be here in concert. Y'all trying to go to the show or what, fam? You know what I'm saying?
I retired from concerts that I gotta stand up at.
All right, bang. We going to the Clip show because we went to the. You was at the Pusher show. We went to the Pusher show, so I'll keep you in the loop.
Yeah, we did because Clips. Because your mans was mad at me.
Oh yeah, that's a no. That's a yeah. He definitely still mad. But man, we out of here, man. Some dude pod. Make sure y'all rate. Ooh. Make sure y'all like. Because I started a podcast with you, and I didn't start a podcast with him. That's why he's mad at you, bang. He don't
his
like
ass over here driving around the goddamn cast of the
I
shop.
I tried to tell him that.
I
tried to tell him, but he ain't listening to me.
Man. Right here, he want to be on the pod. Bring one of them little niggas.
No, he don't want to be on. He don't want to be on the pod. He wants to do a podcast with me specifically. He thinks that you took his spot.
Bring the cast on the shot, and this motherfucker, he can have it. It say some dude. It don't say the J.R. Bang show. It ain't no, Scott.
It ain't going down like that. Some dude pod is Mike B and J.R. Bang. I will discuss opportunities of podcasting with him.
Bring the little skinny nigga else with the dreads on this motherfucker.
Man. Some dude pod,
he's still in L.A. playing video.
You said who?
We not paying that
no mind, bang. It's all good. Some dude pod is me and you, dog. All
Scott,
right, relax.
That nigga looked at me like, nah, beat your ass. You doing this podcast. I'm like, what the fuck?
Like, my homie wanted to do a podcast. Quick story. He wanted to do a podcast with me, right? He claimed that he came up with the idea first, and then I popped up and just started doing a podcast with Bang. So he took that personal. So that's just what it is. So anytime he see Bang, it's side eye.
I kind of understand. Like, but his beef shouldn't be with Bang. His beef should be with you.
It should be with me. I told him that. I said, keep it with me. Don't take it out on Bang.
I ain't take your idea. Nobody told your ass to be driving around goddamn Jacob Lattimore. You know what I'm saying? If you had time, stop driving around Jacob Lattimore. Why don't bring the light skin?
The man is busy, dog.
Messing with right now. Bring her on the show.
Hey man, some do pod. Make sure y'all rate. Make sure y'all like. Make sure y'all subscribe. Anywhere where you can find your favorite podcasts, make sure you search the Barber's Chair Network. That is where you will find Some Do Pod amongst all other great content presented on that platform. Man, I'm Mike B. That's JR Bang. That's Scott. We gone.
Yo, yo, yo! It's your girl Nate Kale, and this is Some Do Podcast. We out. Peace.